And before we get into kind of what you think might be standard at this point or would make sense, I'm curious about another issue that, again, we've been hearing about in ovarian cancer, and you mentioned rucaparib. The approval for rucaparib actually, if I understand it correctly, is not just germline, but also somatic BRCA mutations, and there's an assay coupled with it. You had a paper at San Antonio last December on somatic gene alterations, BRCA gene alterations. What did you see, and what do we know right now about somatic mutations? And, of course, the issue, do they respond or they benefit from PARP inhibitors?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think we need to figure out exactly what the proportion of patients is who have somatic mutations in BRCA1 or BRCA2. We have an abstract from our group that's going to go in from our impact data suggesting that it's relatively rare, certainly much less common in breast than it is in ovary. Part of that, of course, being the overall heterogeneity of breast cancer, and there may be subsets of breast cancer that have slightly more, but it's not going to be 10, 15, 20% of patients with somatic mutations in BRCA1 or BRCA2. Will they respond? Well, I mean, we'll find out. There's a couple of trials that are getting ready to start looking specifically at the question of responsiveness, both in the setting of somatic BRCA mutation and, as in the prostate cancer experience, in the setting of mutation, germline mutations in other genes like ATM, PALB2, RAD51C, RAD51D. And so Nadine Tung is going to be leading, hopefully, a TBCRC study to address that specifically in breast cancer, and there are other efforts underway in other diseases.